download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Good evening. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. As you can tell, I'm not Kevin Tachi. I'm Christine James. This is the second portion of Monday Night Talk. We've hijacked it from Kevin, but he's here with us as we are going into our political forum mode again. I'm Christine James, your moderator. We've got Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi and WATD's Charles Mathewson with me as well. Tonight, it's the race for the 4th Plymouth District, open because longtime Rep. Jim Cantwell left to work for Senator Ed Markey. 4th Plymouth District candidates include Republican Ed O'Connell, Democrat Patrick Kearney, and Independent Nathaniel Powell. If you're not familiar with the district, it's all of Marshfield and all of Scituate except for one precinct. So we're here to talk a little bit about some of the issues that matter to this district. Now, the format is simple. It's what we use at every single forum here on WATD. We ask the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements. Opening no longer than 2 minutes, closing 1 minute. Our reporters will ask the questions of the candidates, and the answers should be under 1 minute. Please, we'll give you a few second grace period, and if you keep talking, that's right, you get the bell. We're serious about that. Well, that's why they're giggling here. Then the lightning round, where the answers are either yes or no. This is one of the toughest parts we find because people find it very difficult to answer yes or no, or one or two sentences tops. Then we go to closing statements, which are 1 minute. And again, we chose the names out of the official WATD newsroom koozie just moments ago to decide opening and closing order. So when we open, we're going to go Ed O'Connell, he's the Republican, Nathaniel Powell, he's the Independent, and Patrick Kearney, he is the Democrat. Now, timing here to make sure that we are fair and everybody gets the same equal shot is our own Amy Leonard. She's got the, there we go, the colored paper. Looks like a hijacked from a kindergarten. Red means stop, green means go, yellow means you've got 10 seconds. So I think everybody's pretty clear on the rules here. Let's go into our opening statements. And remember, they're 2 minutes. Let's begin now with Ed O'Connell. Good evening, Ed.
Good evening. Thank you, Christine, Charles, Kevin, and Amy in WATD for inviting me to your political forum. I'm a longtime Marshfield resident, married to my wife, Darlene. We have two daughters, Amanda and Lindsay, who attended Marshfield Public Schools and went on to graduate from Syracuse and George Washington University. I graduated from Wentworth Institute of Technology and earned a Master's of Business Administration from Suffolk University. I have over 30 years combined experience in the private and public sectors, working for GE and Raytheon, and for the past 26 years working with the Massachusetts State Lottery in accounting, finance, and sales positions. For the past 8 years, I've served as a reserve deputy sheriff in Plymouth County. I'm running because I have a passion for public service. And the open seat created an opportunity to serve the residents of Scituate and Marshfield. I've always been civically engaged and involved in my community. I've served on several volunteer school boards in Marshfield at the elementary, middle, and high school level, as well as the Marshfield Scituate Educational Council with Representative Frank Hines. I was president of the Friends of Marshfield's Ventress Memorial Library, Marshfield's youth soccer vice president and a coach, also elected Plymouth County Charter Commissioner. As your representative, I'll focus on seawall repair and long-term solutions to coastal infrastructure, ensure clean drinking water quality for those affected in Scituate, partner with Plymouth County Drug Abuse Task Force, Project Outreach, South Shore Peer Recovery, FACTS, and other nonprofit groups to reduce opioid addiction. Maintain funding for a safe and nurturing school environment. Support for first responders, our veteran services, and the renovation and expansion of our senior centers. I'll work closely with my colleagues in the legislature, Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Polito's administration on matters that directly benefit the residents of Scituate and Marshfield. I'll listen to your concerns and bring those issues to Beacon Hill. I respectfully ask for your vote on November 6th.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement for Ed O'Connell. He's a Republican running for the seat. Now we're going to go to Nathaniel Powell. Nathaniel's the Independent running in the 4th Plymouth District. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me, all the WATD crew. Again, my name is Nathaniel Powell. I'm running for the state representative, Plymouth 4th District. I'm a third-generation Marshfield resident, graduated from Marshfield High School, graduated with honors from UMass Amherst, Eisenberg School of Business. I'm a homeowner. fellow taxpayer. I'm married. I have 5 children, all in the Marshfield school system. I'm a firefighter paramedic in the town of Marshfield. I also own a small excavation landscape business. I'm running as your independent because I want to work for the people and not the party. I feel as your state rep, you're not only trying to push your own legislation through, but you're also trying to vote against legislation that would adversely affect our district or our community as a whole. And I feel running as an independent and not being tied to the Democratic or the Republican Party, I can make a better decision that way. Both Marshfield and Scituate have a lot of upcoming issues, whether it's the coastal infrastructure, the opioid epidemic, senior center expansion, or just the senior center in Scituate, the possible overrides, and any other possible future expenditures. And I feel that you need a state rep that will advocate for its constituents on an issues-based platform. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the independent Nathaniel Powell. Thanks for your opening statement. Now we're going to go to Patrick Kearney. He's the Democrat running in the 4th Plymouth District. Good evening, Patrick.
Good evening, Christine, and thank you to WATD for sponsoring this event tonight, and thank you to the listening audience for tuning in. The public engagement in this state representative election has been very exciting, and for those of whom I have not yet had the opportunity to meet, my name is Patrick Kearney, and I'm running for the open state representative seat in the 4th Plymouth District. I'm a lifelong resident of the South Shore, and my family roots in Scituate go back to 1928 when my great-grandfather built our original family home. As I have reiterated throughout this campaign, the issues that are facing our communities are not just talking points for me. They are me. I get these communities as places of resources, potential, need, and challenge. I love these communities and want to give my best self as your next state representative. I work in both Marshfield and Scituate as a captain, working charter and commercial fishing boats. As a small business owner, I started up my own maritime education software company to help students prepare for getting their Coast Guard licenses. I am a member of the IATSE Local 11 Stage Handlers Union. I'm the vice president of business development for the software company Price Blocks. And my private sector experience demands self-initiative, discipline, collaboration, fiscal responsibility, and accountability. I'm a graduate of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy and a proud officer in the Strategic Sealift Readiness Force, which supports the U.S. Navy Reserve's component of U.S. Transportation Command, which is a branch of service that requires a command of self, government proceedings, budget planning, and result-oriented strategies. I believe that if you're going to represent the people, that I must know the people. And this is why, since announcing my candidacy, I have knocked on over 6,500 doors in Marshfield and Scituate. I have listened to so many people from all walks of life, and it is their ripple effect of concerns, bright ideas, and urgent requests for both now and our future that motivates me to use my skill set, my procedural know-how, and communication abilities to legislate effectively for these times and these generations. I'm glad to be here tonight, and I look forward to tonight's discussions.
Thank you very much. That was Patrick Kearney with his opening statement. Now let's go to the host here of Monday Night Talk. Of course, that's Kevin Tachi. Your questions for the candidates.
Nathan and Nathaniel, what do you prefer, sir?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, okay. Nathaniel, little is known about you and your campaign. Why did you choose to run as an independent? I think you did state it in your opening statement, but it's virtually impossible these days to get elected as such a political status. Are you serious about this campaign, or is this to gain that name recognition?
I'm very serious about this campaign, and if you go into this campaign thinking that you don't have a chance, then, I mean, what do you tell your kids? I just feel like you gotta believe. If you go in with a loser mentality, you're gonna lose.
Well, but why not? Would you not feel you'd have a better opportunity if you ran as a Democrat or a Republican?
Well, I also feel as an independent, you have a truly independent voice, and you're not going to be pulled by the either Democratic or the Republican Party. And I feel in this nation right now, not only in this state, the Republicans and the Democrats just aren't getting along. Look at our state budget. How long did that take to get finalized? It was about 2 months overdue. You need someone that's going to go in there, stand up for what they believe in, and be able to work between party lines.
And what do folks say to you when they know that you're running as an independent? Do they feel it's refreshing, or do they go, why?
Oh, people love it.
Okay. Patrick, you were successful in gaining the Democratic nomination. That's why you're here tonight. Being the first Scituate-based candidate to do so in years, how do you duplicate that success in November, knowing that it's hard? It's been many decades since someone from Scituate has held a seat.
Yeah, Kevin, I think that that's an interesting question. What has resonated so well with the people in Marshfield and in Scituate is my willingness to listen to the concerns of all the people. I've knocked on over 6,500 doors. I've written handwritten thank you notes to every single person I've talked to. I give out my cell phone number in all of those notes. And what people want in their next state representative is someone that they can get a hold of and someone that they feel is listening to their concerns. That's what I have been doing. I'm going to continue to do that. And it's not about Marshfield or Scituate or either of these two towns. It's about electing someone that is going to represent the concerns of the 4th Plymouth District, and that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. It's been a while since a Republican has held a seat. How do you convince voters? I know you're a Marshfield guy, right?
Right.
How do you convince voters that you're the right choice to represent them up at the State House?
Well, again, I think it's the word representative says it all. People want someone to represent them, and I've been involved in my community in Marshfield, and I've been involved working as a deputy sheriff in Scituate, so I know the concerns of both coastal communities. So I'm ready to represent the folks of both towns, and I think I'll be able to do that as a Republican. I'll be able to work with the coming administration, the governor, lieutenant governor, on day one. I've worked with people in their administration, and I've worked in state government for over 26 years. So I know my way around Beacon Hill. I know my way around the State House. And I'll bring those relationships with me.
I'd have to chime in real quick. The governor is going to take a phone call from any state representative, and we're running for the House of Representatives. So I know that I'm the best candidate to go up and work for Marshfield and Scituate in that House because I have the leadership ability and collaboration skills to get things done in the House of Representatives.
You know what? Nobody asked you that question, though.
No, so I just wanted to clarify things there.
But that's... We've got to ask you the question
well,
do that.
All three of us can work with the governor.
Well, that's fine. But in the future, it's just unless we ask you that, otherwise it's like a mini commercial for each person, so we want to keep this fair. All right. Let's go to Charles Mathewson.
Ed O'Connell, Patrick Kearney raised $70,000. You raised $11,000. total voters in the primary were 6,700 Democrat, 2,900 Republican. You have a long way to go. How are you going to do that?
Sure. Well, first of all, money doesn't win a campaign. The voters do. And secondly, the core group of voting population is the unenrolled on the independents. And in Marshfield and Scituate, they've tended to vote more Republican or, more conservative leaning. So I think there's definitely an avenue for victory there.
Patrick Kearney, Ed mentioned Charlie Baker. He's a very popular governor. He will likely endorse your Republican opponent. How do you overcome that as a Democrat?
The same thing that I have been talking about this whole campaign and what is resonating with the people, as I said to Kevin before, is accessibility to their representative and their willingness of the representative to listen to people. And what has made me successful in the primary, what is going to make us successful in the general, is continuing the efforts of door knocking, of being accessible, listening to the concerns of the people in Marshfield and Scituate, and that's all that matters. As Ed said, it has nothing to do with anything other than resonating, your campaign's message resonating with the people, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Nathaniel, as an independent, do you have a strategy to take votes from Ed or to take votes from Patrick?
Yes, obviously we have a strategy. I don't know if I want to fully disclose it in front of them. But
oh, come on.
tell me.
There's only
tell
a few
us.
People in the room.
My best strategy right now is, I'm just going to go and cherry pick. I'm going to go and keep knocking on doors. Unfortunately, I do have a full-time job right now. I haven't hit as many doors as Patrick. We've hit about 4,000 doors, talked to a lot of constituents. We've heard their concerns. And we're just going to go around and cherry pick. And we're going to try and steal as many votes as we can.
Okay. Did you get your answer there?
Yes, I think
okay.
I did.
You know, we got a couple of questions from listeners who sent them in, because we always offer time for them if you've got questions about the candidates. And for people just tuning in, you're listening to a WATD Political Forum. It's a 4th Plymouth District state rep race, and that, of course, is all of Marshfield and all of Scituate, except for one precinct. We have the three candidates here. We've got Nathaniel Powell, the Independent, Patrick Kearney, the Democrat, and Ed O'Connell, the Republican. One of our listeners sent in, on October 1st, a new law goes into effect in Massachusetts that aims to reduce distracted driving in our state. The Safe Driver Law bans texting while driving and bans drivers under the age of 18 from operating a vehicle while using any electronic device, even a hands-free device. How will you demonstrate, as our next state representative, that you take this issue seriously, and what more do you feel can be done to reduce dangerous driving? Let's start with you, Patrick.
So I think that that's a really important question. I do follow the legislative agenda quite closely, and I believe that that actual legislation did not pass the House of Representatives, which is really unfortunate. I think that the concern was that it profiles certain individuals. It is of my opinion that anyone from any race, gender, socioeconomic background should not be on an iPad while they're driving. It's a public safety risk. And when I was talking with both Mike Stewart, Chief Mike Stewart in Scituate and Chief Tavares in Marshfield, it's of concern to them as well. And when I am your next state representative, I'll be advocating fighting hard for that legislation to get through the legislature, because it's a public safety issue.
Okay. What do you think about that, Ed O'Connell? What do you think about distracted driving in general, and do you take this issue seriously? I know that every year it seems like a fight, and this wasn't in this question, but it turns into a fight with people in general just talking on cell phones. Should we have to do it hands-free? Do you think this issue is taken seriously enough?
No, I don't. I think it is good legislation that I would support, and as a deputy sheriff, I've seen it firsthand, you know, directing traffic and seeing people on their iPhone, on their iPads, on all kinds of electronic media. So it's very scary. It leads to accidents, serious accidents, sometimes tragic. So I know Chief Tavares, Chief Stewart, they're on it. They're very proactive in both towns. Fire and first responders also behind this legislation. So as your representative, I would look to support this and other types of legislation that makes residents safer.
Okay. What about this? Nathaniel Powell, do you agree with this about distracted driving and electronic devices? You think we do enough? You think we need to do more?
I absolutely think we need to do more. I was actually pretty surprised that it did not pass. As a firefighter, I've seen, I can't even tell you the number of accidents that we see, that people are just distracted, either on the cell phone, texting. I can't even imagine how people text and drive at the same time. And one of the best things I tell people as a parent, when you're driving around with your kids, stay off your phone. Be the example. Show them the right way to, or give them the good example of how to drive properly.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi. Question for the candidates.
Opioids and drug addiction is one of the state's top issues. Opioids and heroin have paved the way for harder and deadlier drugs like fentanyl and carfentanil. What type of legislation do you feel we need to track down and punish dealers and distributors? We'll start with Ed.
Well, I think in Plymouth County we're doing great work with the Plymouth County Drug Abuse Task Force, led by Plymouth County DA Tim Cruz and Sheriff Joe McDonald. It's a proactive group that is combining law enforcement with treatment and prevention. So there are so many other groups, both in Marshfield and Scituate, that are doing similar excellent work. And in Plymouth, as a matter of fact, Project Outreach is receiving a national award, as a matter of fact, in Orlando, Florida, for what they're doing. In other words, they find an addict, they confront them or they visit them 48 hours after an incident and help them with treatment and possibly a hospital stay within 48 hours to try to help them versus incarceration. So I think what we need at the legislative level is more similar legislation that combines treatment with law enforcement.
Okay. Nathaniel, same question.
Yes. So I've been in this dilemma, both knee deep since the onset. My firm believing is that the state is taking steps in the right direction by going after some of these drug dealers and incarcerating them for the deaths of some of their these victims. One of the biggest pieces of legislation that I think is a no-brainer that can go through almost right away is putting in legislation for a Section 35 to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what a Section 35 is, it's very similar to a Section 12, where if you have a loved one who's addicted, who's going to put themselves in harm's way, you can petition the judge to put them in a facility, get them evaluated, and get them in a recovery facility. But right now, you can only do it during judge's hours, which is Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and there's no reason why that shouldn't be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I think that's just one small step in a very large problem, and it's a step in the right direction.
Thank you. That was Nathaniel Powell. Next question.
So no, same question, Patrick.
Okay.
So the opioid epidemic is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, issue that we're facing in Marshfield and Scituate and throughout the Commonwealth. I was speaking with Chief Tavares, as I was saying before, and some of his officers that are responding to these overdoses are exposed to fentanyl and other drugs that are so powerful that you even touch it and they're experiencing health hazards. So I think it's important to make sure that our police and fire are adequately given the resources and the tools that they need to keep themselves safe while trying to enforce the legislation that we have in place. I think that the legislative side of things that is crucial is implementing a requirement for pharmaceutical companies and pharmacies themselves to use blockchain technology to prevent individuals from filling prescriptions at multiple pharmacies. It'll keep a significant amount of drugs off the street. And also holding the pharmaceutical companies that are encouraging doctors to prescribe the drugs, holding them accountable. The Attorney General has done a lot of great work and look forward to working to mitigate the effects of that. So.
Okay. Let's go to Charles Matthews and the questions for the candidates here for the 4th Plymouth District.
This is a question we asked two of you in the primary, but it's a different race. Ed, first, what kind of Republican are you? Baker or Reagan? Or somewhere in between?
I like both of their forms of leadership. I really admired Ronald Reagan, and I admire Charlie Baker. I think Ronald Reagan was a strong fiscal conservative, and Charlie Baker is just leading by, you know, going across the aisle with working with Democrats and Republicans to get a lot of things done in the state. We're getting a lot of reforms done on the T. He's supporting law enforcement. He's supporting coastal towns. And, for me, I would consider myself...
Are you more conservative or moderate or...
I would consider myself conservative, but, moderate on social issues. I consider myself a blue-collar Republican. All my friends are, they're plumbers, they're teamsters, they're iron workers. We just feel that government should be less regulating and stay out of our bedrooms, stay out of our wallets, and provide services for
us. Which country club do you belong to?
I don't belong to a country club. I'm working too much.
Patrick Kearney, what kind of Democrat are you?
I'm a Patrick Kearney
Democrat.
Yeah,
oh, don't say that.
Absolutely. No, I bring a fresh face and new leadership, bipartisan leadership. I look forward to working with every other elected official that is successful in November. I'd consider myself a moderate Democrat.
I think you should rephrase like you did with Edward. Give him a couple of Democrats for him to choose.
Right.
You did a nice job. A
couple choices.
Hey, Jimmy Carter. So I would throw him up.
Okay, well...
No, I don't want to compare myself to a former politician. I am going to bring new leadership and bipartisan, the ability to collaborate with all walks of life and all people that...
More conservative or...
I'm a moderate Democrat.
Okay.
Socially liberal and fiscally conservative.
Nathaniel...
How are you going to ask this one?
Are you more of a Democrat or more of a Republican?
Who are you going to caucus with?
I'm going to caucus on the issues, like I've told everyone from the beginning. I'm not your typical politician. I'm going to give you a truthful answer. I'm going to answer your questions all the time. And I've told everyone that I've met, if I can't answer your question, I'll find the answer and I'll get right back to you.
Yeah, but if you're up at the State House, you're going to caucus with Republicans or Democrats?
I'm going to caucus on the issue.
He might have to do the Bob Hedlund thing where they, like, caucus in a phone booth.
Yeah, okay.
You guys don't like Bob?
You're not going to... No, we like Bob. Love Do you Bob. Like Bob?
I love Bob.
That's a first on this station.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
And we'll record this pod.
Yeah.
Does Bob love you?
That's a we question one. We'll have to ask him.
Well, okay.
Charles, do you have a follow-up for that?
No.
Okay. I'm just going to switch topics here. A question from a listener. Marshall, listener sent in. Laws such as Melanie's Law were passed after a Marshfield resident was hit and killed by a drunk driver. What will you do to fight drunk driving if elected to be a state representative? Ed O'Connell.
Well, I remember that very clearly. It was mm-hmm. down the bottom of my street, as a matter of fact, and it was a tragic event. I believe that I think there are laws on the books. They just have to be enforced, strongly enforced. So I think I would work with my colleagues in the legislature to make sure they're strengthened and that they're followed through at sentencing. And I know with prosecutors like Tim Cruz that will happen.
Okay. What about you, Nathaniel? Same question. What do you think, Melanie's Law? What else do you think needs to be done with drunk driving here in the state?
I think Melanie's Law was a good start. Tragic incident. I think we need to start basically just really reinforcing our already drunk driving laws. That's really where I stand on it.
Okay. Patrick, what do you think about drunk driving laws? Melanie's Law?
Well,
enough?
I think Melanie's Law has, we've made great strides in reducing the number of people that have been charged with OUI. As the son of a police officer, it's been instilled in me since have been the age of reason, the importance of safe driving. And what I think we see the positive effects of Melanie's Law, I think we need to have some other motor vehicle changes like the hands-free texting and driving, as well as increasing the penalty for failing to stop for a police officer. Right now it's an arrestable offense, but it's only a $100 fine. I'd like to see that increase to incarceration time, because as of right now, from statistics, it shows us that there are more individuals that are put in harm's way and killed in motor vehicle chases than are by officers' firearms.
Okay. Thank you. That was Patrick Kearney. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates here tonight.
What's your position on 40B and affordable housing? I ask this because I know that we have done stories here on the station locally where there have been questions, there have been hearings in regards to certain developments, and folks not necessarily in favor of them. Do you feel this is a problem in the district? Do you feel it's a problem in the Commonwealth in attaining affordable housing ratios, the 10% that's demanded by the federal government? Patrick, we'll start with you.
I think 40B projects are very important. I think as a Democrat, I'm proud to say that I will always be fighting for the little guy, and I understand that individuals in the Commonwealth face a wide range of circumstances that require them to have accessibility to affordable housing. In regards to development in specific communities like Scituate, we face a problem where we're facing aged infrastructure and sewage capacity that is close to its limit. So as a legislator, it's important to analyze all the issues that are facing the constituents in your district, fight for funding to get those things up to date, and then implement and be accepting of the 40B projects.
Same question, Ed.
Again, as your representative, I'll represent all the people, and I know affordable housing is a key aspect of that. Also, you gotta balance the development needs over those, you know, with the affordable housing aspect of it. And as Patrick said, the sewage capacity is a factor as well. So, you have to balance that as a legislator, and also the quality of the town, the community you're in. the beautiful coastline of Marshfield and Scituate is why what attracted me when I first came down here over 26 years ago. So, you know, some people feel that, you know, too much development is going to encroach on that beauty. But I think if it's done wisely, methodically, and analytically, looking at the budget, if there's money in the budget, and if it's done wisely and done in a nice way for the community, I'd be for it.
Nathaniel, same question.
I am for affordable housing, especially for our veterans and our seniors. Where I do think that 40B needs to be reformed. Right now I feel the state standards are way too low. I feel a lot of developers take advantage of that. I feel that we have to start looking into some of these developments that they're building, and the number of actual 40B apartments or units that are going in, as opposed to the greater number of the total number of units that are going in. I also feel very strongly that it does take away from the character of both Marshfield and Scituate. I mean, look at our forest just here on Enterprise Drive, you know, being cut down for some of these projects. I also feel Scituate really needs to start looking into, they can't develop anymore with that brown water issue the way it is. I have a whole separate feeling on sewage, because both towns are about 50-60%, you know, on septic. So I don't think that's a factor, but I do feel that 40B reform is in need.
Okay, I'm going to, if I may, sharpen my colleagues. Do you object to me calling you my colleague?
Today only.
Okay, my colleague's question, because he was specific about 40B, and only one of you was specific about 40B, so I'm going to continue with you, Nathaniel. 40B, you mm-hmm. say it needs to be reformed. Mm-hmm. Precisely how? And let me give a wider perspective here. In general, representatives from the suburbs don't like 40B, and representatives from the cities do. So there's a political matter here that you have to resolve.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of these developers, they realize that, and they realize that places like Marshall and Scituate are under that 10%, and they use that to their advantage. And they know the state standard is a lot lower than probably what these towns are. So if the town's not willing to work with them, they'll appeal to the state and they'll win. Because they are under that 10%.
Does 40B actually create affordable housing, or is it a welfare program for developers?
Right now, I believe that a lot of developers use it to get their projects done. That's what I believe.
Patrick Kearney, same question. What's wrong with 40B, and how would you change it?
I said from the beginning that I think it's important that we have affordable housing for individuals that fall in tough times. And I will stand by the fact that we need affordable housing in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and accessible affordable housing.
Yeah, we need affordable housing, but yeah. Is 40B the way to do it?
I think that the 40B legislation is very important to the constituents of the Commonwealth, yeah.
Okay, Ed, what about you?
Well, you know, I think where you're going with this is I think 40B has some room to be tweaked. It could be worked on. I'd be happy to sit on a review commission to do just that, because I think what's happening with some of these 40B projects is it is taking up some of our beautiful open space in both Marshfield and Scituate. And I think that's why you have suburban towns more against it than those in the city. So as a legislator, I would definitely look into that.
Okay.
A lot of small business owners in these two communities. Really, the percentage of small business owners is really the majority of the businesses here in the district. And people say, well, yeah, I support small business. Specifically, what would you do as state rep to really support small business here in Marshfield and Scituate? Let's start with Ed O'Connell.
Well, small businesses are the key to any town, any city. And in Marshfield and Scituate, we have a vibrant business community. So as your representative, I would try to, you know, partner with the small businesses, work at the legislative level to reduce regulations so that they can operate and make more money as working at the state lottery. I work on a daily basis with thousands of small businesses. and we try to improve their bottom line, help them with best business practices. So I know it's very important to work with small businesses, help them in the towns, and represent them at the State House.
I'm just going to have a little follow-up question. You've got a great job at the state lottery. Would you want to give that up to be a state rep?
Sure. Well, again, I've worked in state government for over 26 mm-hmm. years, and this and politics and civic involvement has always been a passion. So I would step down. I would be a full-time representative, and I think my background would help me immensely at the in Beacon Hill.
Okay. Let's go now to Nathaniel Powell. What would you do specifically to help small business here on the South Shore, specifically Marshfield, Scituate?
Yes. So being a small business owner, I do feel like they are the backbone of the economies for both Marshfield and Scituate. One of the first things I would really like to see done is stop bundling a lot of these bills, because you get a lot of these fuel tax, your automatic fuel tax increase mixed in, the tech tax mixed in, and those are just two examples within the past 10 years that really hurt small businesses around here. I feel like they get overlooked in these big bills, and they just get pushed through, and it can't be done. Everything's got to be looked at on an individual basis, and what the effect is going to be for a lot of these communities and a lot
but
of these businesses.
Tell me something specifically that you would do for small business, specifically.
I just did. I'd like to get just bundling bills.
And just one thing that you would do that would make a difference to a small business owner. Okay, you can think about that. You can, if you feel that if you were answering questions and you didn't get enough time to finish or you wanted to add something, you can always put that in your final statement.
You look at some of these bills, like the fuel tax. I mean, it crushed us. You can't run a business when you're constantly increasing the tax on your fuel. You need fuel to run, and at the time this came through, it crushed the economy in general, and that's something that as a representative you have to have the pulse on the community and know what's going on and vote against that. But when it's bundled into a larger bill, it gets overlooked.
Okay. Same question, Patrick Kearney. What are you going to do for small business?
So small business is crucial to Marshfield and Scituate and the Commonwealth, and I am the candidate that I think best offers economic development for these communities. And I think for small business, I have two priorities for Marshfield and Scituate. One is to allow people an easier pathway to start their own small business. Marshfield, or the state of Massachusetts, has some of the highest LLC fees in the country out of any other state. I think we should be more encouraging of individuals to come to Massachusetts, start their own small business, and the residents of Marshfield and Scituate to be able to start and pursue their dreams. The other thing that I think is vital is these two towns are coastal communities, and we have a fishing industry in both Marshfield and Scituate that I work as a part of that is being crushed by regulations that prevent us from fishing. It crushes our tourist economy. Most recently, they just closed our haddock charter quota from 12 haddock per person to 0 per person, and they were counting cod against us. So the problem that we had, we have, is we need to continue to support our tourist economy.
What are you dying for me to hit that bell?
She's just so quick. Ready to hit that bell.
I have a lot more to say on that, but I saw the bell coming. So.
Compared to the Attorney General, when we had the one prior to the primary, it's been very quiet evening here regarding that bell. Because she was hitting that she was getting a workout on that bell.
They're pretty intense. Okay, Kevin Absolutely. Tachi, question for the candidates.
Transportation funding comes in the form of Chapter 90. But every district has construction projects that need additional lobbying from their elected officials to financially support them. What are some of the road improvement projects or transportation projects that you would work to secure funding for that you're aware of in your district? And we will start with Nathaniel.
Well, just the general maintaining of a lot of these state roads in Marshfield and Scituate. I know we just did 3A, but why didn't 3A get done all the way through Scituate also? They're both in terrible conditions. And I think that's a start. And
but are you aware of any particular projects, maybe that's part of an upcoming transportation plan by one of your local agencies that's putting it forth and saying, we need something done? Example, it's been a godsend since they widened Route 139. But that took some work by our local legislators. Are you aware of a particular project in the district that you'd like to see get done or get accomplished?
I mean, I could name off a bunch of intersections that need, either stoplights or stop signs, but other than that, I'm not aware of anything else, no.
Okay. Patrick, same question.
Yes, we're definitely facing a lot when it comes to transportation and walkability as well. I was just at the South Shore Chamber of Commerce meeting last week, and they were talking about Webster Square and redoing that to make it not only more friendly to consumers, but also to vehicle traffic, and to create a business district there. So it's not only supporting transportation and making it a safer place to transit, but also it supports our local economy. The other concerns that I had, it was awesome. I was knocking on doors up on Union Street in Marshfield, and a 8-year-old came to the door and he said, are you the guy that's going to get me sidewalks? Because he wants to play with his buddies down the street. So we definitely, there are pockets in Marshfield and Scituate that need sidewalks for kids to be able to spend time outdoors. So both of those projects, I think, are crucial for the next state rep to be fighting for.
Same question, Ed.
Right, I agree with my two colleagues. As a matter of fact, I live on Webster Street. That's one of the streets in town that everyone always would like to have a sidewalk on, myself included. And as Patrick mentioned, I was also at the chamber meeting where we discussed the plaza and the walkability of it. So that's an area that, if we could make it more user-friendly and safe, that would add to the business community and the business climate in town. Also up at Furnace Brook on Furnace Street near the middle school, there's another dangerous intersection that we could use more proceeds to fix our roads. But just going forward, I think I would be able to attract more funds for the town for both Scituate and Marshfield so that we could have wider roads, safer roads, and roads that are not have potholes and unsafe going forward.
Okay. Questions for the candidates. Charles Mathewson.
I have a two-part question, which is a warning to you that you need to think and be concise.
Thinking capital.
Yeah. These are coastal communities, obviously. So in the case of Marshfield, part one, what specifically, not in general terms, but what specifically would you do to improve coastal resiliency? I think you all three said that you would do that on your websites. And the second part is specifically, what would you do with the water problem in Scituate? Let's start with
water,
Patrick.
Water problem, you mean groundwater? Or?
The public water supply that runs shallow.
Well, I hope we get 2 minutes because those are both very big questions.
This is a test of you being concise.
But coastal resiliency, it's imperative that we have funding for seawalls, but also that we have, as the next state rep, I'll be forward thinking and fiscally responsible and looking into wave attenuation devices. They reduce the kinetic energy of the waves, they allow our seawalls to last longer, and they're $1,200 a linear foot versus $4,000 a linear foot. That's my main initiative on coastal resiliency. The water problem is multifaceted. There's $22 million worth of old pipe from the 1930s that needs to be replaced. We need to work with our federal representatives and our town municipal elected officials to get things done and solve the water problem in getting those pipes fixed. We also have a bunch of wells in Scituate that have high iron and magnesium counts. We need green sand filters to get the iron and the manganese out of the water.
He did it, Ed.
Very good.
There's a lot more to say, but.
Well, similar in Marshfield, I've seen personally the breaches in the wall when I worked as a deputy sheriff during those storms. So I know what we have to do. We need funding, obviously, to get those walls repaired in a safe manner, on time and on budget. We also need to look at alternatives in the long term for our coastal infrastructure, be it, the way the homes are built on the shore, possibly the government taking those homes as a way to not having recurring insurance claims year after year. However, as far as the Scituate groundwater goes, the quality of the water, that is a multifaceted, that's a complex issue, but I would work municipal, state, and federal officials to get that problem resolved. I think in both towns, we're blessed with great public servants, civil servants that are working proactively to get this done. So I'll work with them at the on Beacon Hill to get it resolved.
Nathaniel, so far no bill.
I'll do my best. So as far as the coastal infrastructure in Marshfield specifically, I feel that we need to rebuild our seawalls, but now we need to protect those seawalls. And I've been advocating for WADs from the very beginning of my campaign. If you look at what they've done down south, South Carolina specifically, they've started to replenish the beaches so much so that they've started to move them farther out down there. And as you can tell, I mean, our beaches need to be replenished. Look at Fourth Cliff, for example. So that's one thing I'm pushing for. As Patrick said, they are about a third of a cost of a seawall. As far as the public water supply in Scituate, I think we really need to start looking into securing some money to clean up these reservoirs over there. And unfortunately, from the people I've talked to in Scituate, there's no other place to drill wells over there. And there is magnesium, and that's what's causing a lot of the problems with the pipes right now. And I think, and they have put in a lot of these charcoal filters. I would love to see the results on that and see what is happening exactly with that. And the other thing that's happening is they're mixing. Oh,
there we go. Sorry, I gave you the grace period.
Coming in hot.
I didn't make it.
Very good, gentlemen.
Okay, any follow-up questions?
No.
Funny, we were just talking about the manganese earlier. Barkeeper's Friend and Zud Cleanser both have oxalic acid. It's the only stuff that gets a stain out of your tubs, just speaking from experience. Okay, just had to throw that in. We had a big discussion about this earlier today. Okay, let's go to another question from a listener, and they said, as your next state representative, how will you support the first responders who keep our community safe? Nathaniel Powell, you're a first responder. Do you think the communities do enough? What do you guys need?
We need more manpower. We always need more manpower. The communities are great. They support us 100% all the time. But I know both Marshfield and Scituate, we run the ambulances. And I think it's great for the community because you have community-oriented members of the departments that care about the communities that are running these ambulances. But unfortunately, as the number of calls go up and up every single year, you know, that just means every time an ambulance goes out of town, that's two guys out of town. You know, too many times we're left with no ladder truck in service because, you know, when these ambulances are out of town. We need to secure some funding for some manpower, both on the police and the fire side.
Okay, same question, Patrick Kearney. You said your father was a police officer. What would you do to make sure that first responders are safe? What do we need to do?
We need to do a lot, and there are different concerns for police and fire, some of which are the same. But Marshfield and Scituate, out of the 351 cities and towns in the Commonwealth, actually have the highest 911 call rates out of any other town. And that is a huge part of that is because of the storms that we face every year. So I think that making sure that police and fire have the resources that they need to keep people safe in those storms is important, and that we have the infrastructure to limit the effects of that. I was speaking with Chief Hawking last week, and the ambulance bill that affects the local fire departments, it would allow insurance companies to give the money directly to the individual and not to the department, and we'd lose $1.6 million of revenue every year for Marshfield Fire. So it's important that as the next state rep, we're making sure that that doesn't happen, because it's a fiscally responsible thing to do to make sure that that money continues to come to our district.
Okay, thank you very much. Same question, Ed. I know that you've been a deputy sheriff for how many years?
Right, 8 years.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on this issue?
Well, my thoughts, as a representative, I would obviously support any legislation that supports our police and fire as far as training goes, resources, protective gear. They have Narcan now that they train on. They have to have you know, their protective vests, and all this costs money. And, you know, their budgets have increased, and they need help with their budgets. So as your representative, I would help decrease, get more money, get more funding for our police and fire, for first responders.
Okay. So that's one more question. Kevin Tocci.
I think we're going to go, you want to go lightning?
Yeah. You ready to go lightning round?
Let's go lightning.
Okay. And again, lightning round is just like the name implies, it's quick like lightning, and the answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences tops. And the reporter will ask you whether they want a yes or no answer, and yes or no means yes or no, or two sentences. And that means two real sentences, no long, rambling soliloquies, and no big explanations with yes or no. Okay, just, I say this every time, but it's just impossible.
Never works.
I know, but I'm saying it anyway. Hope springs eternal. So let's start with Kevin Tocci. Lightning round question.
Bill bundling, for or against, to make your argument with one to two sentences.
Who do you want to start with?
Yes, it's important. We need to, as legislators, read everything that's included in all bills. Okay. That's our job.
All right.
Ed?
Against. That sounds like there's just the name of it, bundling of the bill. I would need time to really look at each one and take effective action.
Nathaniel?
Absolutely against. Too much gets overlooked. Just look at the grand bargain. A lot of...
Okay. Two sentences. Good. Charles Mathieson.
I always break the rules. So three words. Three words. What committee assignments would you most like?
Who do you want to start with?
Nathaniel.
Public Safety Commission.
Okay.
Trying to use the third.
Patrick?
I heard there's an opening in Ways and Means.
As a freshman?
No, I mean, I was a little sense of humor there.
Okay.
But, you know, I definitely think that education would be very important.
Okay. Same question. Ed?
Public safety and seniors and veterans.
Thank you.
Okay. Wouldn't be a forum unless I ask this question. You guys know what's coming. Plymouth County government, stay or get out of it? Let's start with you, Ed O'Connell.
Get out of it. I think there's some great public servants, one of which was here earlier, that work for Plymouth County government.
Come on, Ed.
However, I think it's redundant in a lot of services.
Okay, what do you think, Patrick Kearney? Stay or go?
Stay.
Okay. Nathaniel Pell?
I'm against it.
Okay. Let's go to our closing statements now. Gentlemen, we've had three candidates here tonight, all running for the 4th Plymouth District, and we're going to reverse the order that we started with. So we are going to begin with Patrick Kearney, then we're going to go to Nathaniel Powell, and then go to Ed O'Connell, and we try to keep our closing statements to 1 minute. So let's begin now with Patrick Kearney.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to participate in tonight's forum, and one of my favorite quotes is from Robert F. Kennedy, and it's, "The future is not completely beyond our control. It is the work of our own hands." And my family roots in Scituate dating back to 1928 instill in me a love for our coastal community, and I'm eager to roll up my sleeves and chart a better course. We keep electing people who don't know what it's like to walk in the shoes of the people that they're going to represent on Beacon Hill. And I bring the passion, the firsthand experience, energetic leadership, and stamina to fight for and do what we need done in the Commonwealth. The issues of today's generations make this legislature a different playing field. And I'm the candidate with the wherewithal to know our priorities, the communication, and the proven collaboration skills to work with any and all officials on both sides of the aisle to get things done for Marshfield and Scituate. I extend my thanks to the several unions, professional groups, and local volunteer organizations that support me. I'm especially grateful for Jim Cantwell's, Sean Costello's, and Gigi Meraki's support, and I thank the scores of individuals who have publicly endorsed my campaign. I'd love to hear more from you. Our website is Patrick Kearney, electpatrickkearney.com, and my cell is 781-690-7923. My door will always be open, and I'll continue to knock on yours. Thanks.
Thank you. That was Patrick Kearney. He's a Democrat running for this post. Now, let's go to Nathaniel Powell. He's the independent in the race.
That's great. I just want to say thank you to everybody for taking the time to listen tonight. I am your independent candidate. I do feel that we need someone that is willing to stand for what they believe in and willing to work across party lines. I am someone that is passionate and has the pulse of the district and the community. That not only has the working experience, but has the life experience. I am that candidate, and I look forward to working with everybody. My website is electnathanielpowell.org. My cell phone is 339-793-0086. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. That was Nathaniel Powell, the independent. Let's go to Ed O'Connell, the Republican.
Thank you, Christine and staff, my fellow candidates, and the listeners of WATD. I have the necessary qualifications and experience to be your representative. I'm a graduate of Wentworth Institute of Technology and earned an MBA in finance from Suffolk University. I have over 30 years combined experience in the private and public sectors, working for GE, Raytheon, and for the past 26 years in state government for the state treasurer's office, where I held positions in accounting, finance, and sales at the Lottery Commission. In addition, for the past 8 years, I've served as a reserve deputy sheriff in Plymouth County. My many years of involvement in the community and public affairs give me the ability to work closely with legislative colleagues and the governor's administration on day one. When elected, I will be a full-time representative who will be fiscally accountable and always accessible to the residents of Scituate and Marshfield. I'll listen to your concerns and bring those issues to Beacon Hill. Please follow my campaign on Facebook and social media. I respectfully ask for your vote on November 6th.
Thank you very much. That was the Republican, Ed O'Connell. You've heard from the other two candidates, and that was Patrick Kearney, the Democrat, and Nathaniel Powell, the Independent. This was a WATD political forum for the 4th Plymouth District, which is Marshfield and all of Scituate, except for one precinct. Joining me tonight, Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi and our own Charles Mathewson, and also Amy Leonard doing the timing here tonight. This will be up on our website, 959WATD.com. Selected cuts will run tomorrow during morning drive, and of course, stay tuned to WATD for complete political coverage. We've got a reporter assigned to every candidate on election night. Remember, November 6th, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD-FM Marshfield, WMEX Boston, and 95.9 WATD.com.